Today on Locked On Rockies, close calls, not getting it done. The Colorado Rockies bullpen has not come up clutch like it's needed to this year.
You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Rockies, welcome to the Locked On Rockies podcast for today, the 31st day of August in the year 2022. I am your host of the Locked On Rockies podcast, bringing you your daily Colorado Rockies podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find your team every single day. And if your team is the Colorado Rockies, well, you are in the right spot. You can find us free and streaming on your favorite streaming service. All you got to do is search Locked On Rockies. You'll be taken to where you need to go. We'll be there. Subscribe to us on YouTube so you can be part of the live show as well. Who am I? I'm Paul Holden. I am the host of the Locked On Rockies podcast, your Rockies fan extraordinaire. Been following this team my entire life and bringing you your daily Colorado Rockies talk for a little over 2 years now. Diving into today's episode, but before we do that, got to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And a tweet from last weekend is the theme of the Rockies this year. And it shows, and some people might receive this as, oh, it just shows that the roster we have is just a little bit more clutch, a little bit more, and we still got something. We got more than we think. Others are going to say that it's another big prime example of this team missing out and not having the pieces that it needs. The tweet here, Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post, of the Rockies' 41 road losses. Now, this was from the 27th, so Saturday at 5:34. So I believe before the loss on Saturday. Let's see. Let me make sure that I get that up, so I'm properly phrasing the stat correctly. Okay, it wasn't a one-run game. Okay, here we go. Of the Rockies' 41 road losses, again, from August 27th, 13 have been one-run games. And that, so now the Rockies, of the Rockies' 42 road losses, because they did lose that game there. This stat stays true. The 13 have been one-run games. Rockies are 18-22 overall on the road. Of the 13 one-run games, 11 of them ended with the opponent scoring the game-winning run in the eighth inning or later. Seven of those losses were walk-offs, including Friday night's Mets victory. This has been the pain for the bullpen, and now we're finally seeing it, which is interesting. This tweet is relevant because the Rockies have now won back-to-back one-run games, and that is thanks to the bullpen being able to shut the door as well as good starting pitching. But just being able to do it twice and being able to do it this late and get this development is too little too late. That stat from Patrick Saunders highlights the importance of great bullpen play. If the Rockies were able to win more of those games, say the Rockies win seven of those one-run losses, that boosts the Rockies up above 500 on the road for the season. It makes you in a much better position record-wise. And I know I'm here playing the same game that you knew that I was going to say. But if you just take that, it flips the way the Rockies look in terms of the standings. But when you continually have to rely on flipping the coin or looking back on the stats and saying what if, it's a problem. The Rockies have to win one-run ball games. Where the Rockies need to be the best at winning one-run ball games is on the road. The Rockies need to duplicate what they've done the past two nights more time and time again. It is so, so important, not only for the Rockies, but for the team in general, but for any team. If you want to make a run, look at how close the Mariners came last year. The Mariners won a lot of close ball games. They won a lot of close one-run ball games. The Mariners this year turned to a bullpen that's going to keep a game close and keep a game tight. You have to be able to turn to your bullpen with confidence. You are a real, true contender, a playoff threat if you can turn to your bullpen in confidence and say this one-run lead is safe in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And the Rockies have not been able to say that. Daniel Bard and Carlos Estevez have been pretty darn good, if not pretty great, of late, especially when you compare the way those two can kind of ebb and flow. But that's what I mean. Elite bullpens, dominant bullpens don't have those issues. And I still think I'm turning, if Estevez can continue to pitch well throughout the rest of this season, it'll make me change my tune a little bit more on him, especially with the increase in velocity that we're seeing from Estevez. And Daniel Bard has really ironed it out, honestly. But for the next 2 years, are we fully confident in the Rockies to send out Daniel Bard to win one-run games? He's shown that he's been able to do it lately, but he's also shown this year that he can walk in runs. He can walk runs to load bases. He can give up hits. I mean, Daniel Bard has to deal with a lot of traffic a lot of times. Good teams like the Mets, why do they have a light show and a whole thing that plays when their closer comes in? Because it brings the confidence that you have to say, if we get to this stage in the ballgame, we have an elite enough threat, an elite enough weapon that's going to shut you down. We are more than confident in our ability to hold on to a one-run lead than you are. The Rockies, you can't sit there and safely say that the Rockies are safe with the one-run lead. The Mets can say that. The Mets, especially depending on who they have in the starting on the bump for their starter, can say that. The Dodgers can say that. Elite teams can say that. The Rockies can't, because just that's right there. Patrick Saunders paints the entire picture with the bullpen. The issues aren't just blown big games or blowing big leads. The importance of your bullpen, a great bullpen, keeps you in these games and helps you win these one-run games. And if you win one-run games, you are in the hunt. If you are above 500 in one-run loss wins, if you have more one-run wins than you have one-run losses, I guarantee you, you are in a much, much, much better spot than you are without them. I know that's kind of an obvious answer, but those games are important. One-run games mean that's a close game of baseball. That means the entire game, or at least at a certain stage, you got it back almost there. You either come up, if you lose that game, you come up short by blowing your lead and letting your opponent overtake you and take the momentum in the game. That's a different issue. You come up short on the offensive side. And that's kind of, I guess, one thing I should say. It isn't just the bullpen there, too. Until we see the second half of that stat. The offense can come up just short after not starting out and coming alive late, like we've seen countless times from the Rockies offense. But when you focus on the second half of this stat, of those 13 games, 11 of them, remember, those are the one-run games of the 42 road losses for the Rockies. Of those 13 games, 11 of them ended with the opponent scoring the game-winning run in the eighth inning or later. Seven of those were walk-offs, including Friday night's Mets victory from Patrick Saunders on the 27th. That's the issue. It's late in games. It's the Rockies having a few examples of fighting back, getting the offense in, backing up their starter who might have struggled a little bit, getting themselves back in a position to win that game. But then you have to turn to the bullpen. And then that's where, as Samuel Jackson says in Jurassic Park, hold on to your butts. Diving into the live chat here and talking a little bit more about this stats, the bullpen, and more here about the Rockies. But before we do that, get in on the action, folks. Today, you know, with the Rockies and with some of these interesting players, with these call-ups, with these matchups, why aren't you getting involved with the live betting, the in-game betting that BetOnline offers you? BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Oh yeah, duh, football's back. You can get in all the betting action, and BetOnline is going to be the place to do it. You can find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week games. That's right. Well, kickoff is just around the corner, and all of the baseball action is still underway. It's a great, great time for sports. Arguably my favorite time of the year when we have both baseball and football. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And it's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts. Diving into the live chat today, Adrian Ortega says, I hate the fact that Montero does good and is still sat the following day. Yeah, it's interesting. With the call-ups of Tolia and everything, I'm not sure how much of the show you caught yesterday. The Rockies are going to need to kind of be interesting with their positions, especially with the other call-up that they made there as well. I believe both call-ups are getting the start again tonight. Yes, Sean Bouchard is also in there as well. No Montero again in the lineup for the Rockies, but this is going to be one of those things where, unfortunately, Montero's been playing a lot. You want to see him play all the time, absolutely, but as long as this isn't a consistent stretch in a row of games off for Montero, I won't be worried. But I feel you, especially if he's on a roll, you don't want to get in the way of the momentum. I'm sure Montero wants to be out there in the lineup every single day as well. But right now, the Rockies are trying to figure out a way to have to balance this roster with these call-ups that they've made of getting them all some playing time and seeing what they got. As much as Montero should be at the top of the list of people getting playing time, we gotta see after what these other players have to do. And I can't remember either, Adrian, if he did get sat after his two-homer game. It's simply, he's in a tough spot with where he plays as a position for Alariz. Alariz plays primarily two positions that the Rockies have pretty good production coming from. And you're looking at it, McMahon's been performing pretty well lately and trying to keep his hot streak alive. It's a tough spot to get him over there on third. And of course, CJ Cron, you're looking for him to be the offensive contributor that Cron can be. But still, there's got to be places for him. But I am interested to see what happens with Montero's playing time here with Tolia and what that means for his playing time and availability here for the team. But I bet you'll see him play a little bit more DH factor in there because where else, you also got to factor in getting Charlie Blackmon still in there when you got Sean Bouchard still playing, where you're going to figure out things like that. Where does Antoglia isn't even playing first base tonight. CJ Cron's there. So with the Rockies putting Tolia in right field, that even further complicates the availability for where Montero is. But I wouldn't be too surprised if you see coming up here maybe to end a series or something like that, a Montero Tolia and Bouchard lineup potentially with two in the outfield and one on first base. Yeah, though he shouldn't be coming out of the lineup after two home run games, absolutely. But at the same time, there's interesting pieces that we need to keep in mind there. But right now for the Rockies, you got to feel pretty good. I mean, two really nice wins for the Rockies, close wins for the Rockies. And when you can go and play these two teams, especially like they did have on the road, and put together two back-to-back wins, that feels good, especially washing away that kind of tough stretch that you just went through there with that Rangers game and that Rockies leading into those first three games against the Mets. But last night, sorry, I got to send this. Last night's game, I've been loving the Rockies' ability to come back in games. That's been something that's been nice, getting down early in the game and being able to come back and bounce back into getting these leads. The Rockies have done a pretty darn good job of getting back into games and taking leads in the middle of them. That's what makes our tweet of the day, our whole theme of today's podcast, even a little bit more frustrating when the Rockies are able to get themselves closer and closer and into those games. And last night's game could have been yet another example of the Rockies fighting back, taking the lead, and then having things fall apart. But instead, they are able to get a great performance from the bullpen and a pretty good start from Jose Ureña as well. You know, still some hits, a couple of earned runs, but six strikeouts, only the two walks. Justin Lawrence comes in, really nice two innings for him. Really, really like to see that Lawrence is getting more work. I think the secret to figuring out what the Rockies have in Justin Lawrence is to continue to see what he can do. If it's the lack, if the control continues to get in the way, then we'll know. But if we can get someone with that, I really like Lawrence's unique arm angle. I really like his unique release. I really like his velocity. He can be really great as long as he can control the ball. And that two innings of work from Lawrence is great, especially only giving up the one hit. Estevez does get the three strikeouts in his inning, but does give up the two free passes. That's the big worry. I mean, right there, that is key to where the Rockies have gone wrong in these one-run games. And we saw it there, the possibilities again with Estevez in that inning. You cannot give elite teams free bases. Able to buckle down, strikes out the side, gets it out, and takes care of his own business. That's great. That's a wonderful way to bounce back. But free bases, especially late in games, the worst possible thing you can do. But another great performance there. Daniel Bard comes in, slams the door, gets the two strikeouts as well. Strikeouts, strikeouts, strikeouts. That's what I'm looking for from Rockies pitching throughout the end of the season. I'd like to see the Rockies continue to try to strike out more batters. I'd like to see them get more swing and misses. I think that's going to be key for the Rockies going forward. And I think it's going to be something they need to kind of add that more back into the repertoire instead of just leaning so much on the put the ball in play type of philosophy. So good win for the Rockies last night. When those type of games happen, you got to appreciate Jose Iglesias continues to swing the bat. I think he's on track to be one of the first players to have a better batting average on the road, like a pretty solid betting batter average on the road versus home for a Rockies player since like Willie Taveras, I think. Randall Grichuk, a couple of hits. Good to see. Brendan Rodgers swinging the bat pretty well. Crone, Diaz, Montero all getting hits in last night's game. Tolia not able to get a hit there in that one. But Sean Bouchard is able to, and same with Garrett Hampson. So a few hits for the Rockies there. And again, good work by the bullpen, able to limit the damage done by walks and free bases. So we will take that. Absolutely. Two nice wins for the Rockies. Let's look ahead. Let's get ready for tonight's matchup here as the Rockies go for their third straight win here. First pitch in just a couple of hours. But first, all right, here we go. We got the 56-74 Rockies taking on the 79-51 Atlanta Braves. Unbelievable. They are still really, really good. This was a team I wasn't so sure was able to repeat. It's a team that is, I think, again, flying under the radar for being as talented as they are. They've kept it's really one of the best races of all of baseball here in the NL East. The playoff chase between these two teams has been incredible, and it's interesting the way the Rockies have factored into this. The Braves really would like to win this game. The Mets cover, you know, had a nice little stretch there against the Rockies, some pounding on some wins there. Currently, the NL East standings look like this. Mets on top here. Now with that three-game lead, every win is important. I mean, the Mets definitely excited that they were able to take care of business against the Rockies. Braves really frustrated, I bet you, that they weren't able to get the comeback, to hold on to the win, and not liking that one. Ryan Feltner getting the bump today. 2-5, 5.87 ERA for him going up against Kyle Wright. 16-5, 2.99 ERA, 1.13 WHIP, and 144 strikeouts. If the Rockies want to do, if they want to hang in there again today, what do they got to do? Like we've talked about a bit, avoid the strikeouts. Yes, indeed, got to avoid the strikeouts. if you are the Rockies. And again, that's another reason why the team was successful yesterday. Team did only strike out five times there throughout the course of the game. That's not terrible. Only getting three strikeouts from the starter. That means the Rockies were at least getting the ball, swinging the ball, putting the ball in play. They did finish with 11 hits last night. The two errors, not something we are looking for. But keeping an eye out for what the Rockies can do in this one. I mean, again, eliminate the strikeouts, you're going to give yourself a better chance. But the Rockies inching closer to 60 wins, looking to get a three-game winning streak together here tonight. We'll be watching along with all of you and getting ready to break it all down. So let's see. Here's hoping for the Rockies tonight. But in the meantime, folks, that is going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Rockies. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Now that you made Locked On Rockies your first listen of the day, why don't you go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview, an eight-episode extravaganza ready to get you set for the NFL season. The local team of experts on the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Stay up to date with all things Colorado sports with the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Avalanche, and Locked On Nuggets podcast. And until next time, I'm Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast. And you can follow us right here on YouTube at Locked On Rockies and at LO Rockies on Twitter. I'm at Paul Holden 33. Till next time, I'm Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast.